Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Slightly Something Else. I am here with the renowned, the handsome, the educated, and the slightly surly Marty Sliva, pronounced as if you were scared of the armholes in your shirt. Sleeve. Yep. Ah!
That was right before we went live, Jack was like, ooh, I need to tweet this episode out. And he's like, ooh, I got a good one. And he was like giggling and typing. And I told him that it was like watching madness occur in real time. Mm-hmm. And then that's what he came up with, which I personally think was beautiful. That was wonderful.
Yeah. Thank you. I've said this many, many times. No one will ever find me as funny as I do. Mm-hmm. And I think that's perfectly okay. But yes, I thought of that joke of how to pronounce your last name, and I had to jump on it. I thank you for not being offended by the pronunciation of your last name.
I thought it was beautiful. So it warmed the cold cockles of my heart.
Oh well, gotta keep it warm.
We got spicy cockles this week.
Spicy cockles like a mama used to make, quite literally. No. She made us. But in any case, we are here on Slightly Something Else to talk about Nintendo. Mm-hmm. Nintendo is this kind of forever nebulous company. They do some messed up shit. They get away with absolute bullshit constantly because we love the things they make. And it's forever like this balance of we love Nintendo, but Nintendo does some bullshit.
Yeah, I think that's it. It's just they've done so much for me over the past 35 years that I'm like, well, it's fine. You can just continue to take money from my pocket because I'm a big idiot. Yeah. That's totally fine. Yeah. And I guess starting off with a little housekeeping. So Yahtzee is feeling under the weather. Mm-hmm. That's why he's not here. So everyone send thoughts and prayers and Metamucil to him. He's not like dying. It's fine. I think he's fine.
There is a general, there is a countrywide bug going around, AKA mm-hmm. it's flu season. And like people are now out in public again. So we're all getting the flu again. Yeah.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And if you know something about Yahtzee, he goes to raves and he raves hard.
Oh, yes. No, yeah. And I've told him he really should rein in licking other people at the rave parties.
He's not going to do that. He's not going to do that. He has those candy necklaces.
And the candy, what do you call those, where you suck like on the pacifiers?
The ring?
No,
ring
like
pops?
The candy pacifiers that he likes to share with all the people mm-hmm. he goes to raves to. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly it. Mm-hmm. But we'll be here to hold down the ship for the next hour. And if you guys don't know the format of the show, we're going to talk about Nintendo for the first half hour. Mm-hmm. And then for the back half, we're opening it up to your super chats. So you can start sending them into the chat right now. The super chats help keep the lights on, help let us make incredible shows that, you know, Adventurous Nigh. That helps keep the lights on that wonderful show that you shepherd. So send those in now, and then we'll go over all of them on the back half of the show.
Absolutely. Yeah, your super chats mean that we can just spend a half hour talking about Nintendo and our gripes with Nintendo and not have to worry about Nintendo demonetizing us, because we get monetized from you all, and we appreciate it every single time.
Absolutely.
On to the bullshit. What do we want to start with? Do we want to start with like positive aspects, or maybe we start with the bullshit and then kind of explain why we let them get away with the bullshit?
I think, I like that. I like that order. And it's Nintendo is a incredibly frustrating company to be a fan of. Mm. And it seems like for every two steps forward, they take one step back, and they miss so many of the easy things.
Yeah.
Like the most recent thing, I think one of the reasons that sparked this topic was during the Animal Crossing Direct last week, they announced the full details of the Nintendo Switch Online Expansion Pack Plus. which is going to be $50 a year as opposed to the $20 a year that is currently there. Mm-hmm. And that will let you play the small assortment of Nintendo 64 and Sega Genesis games that they're releasing next week. Alongside, you will get the Animal Crossing 2.0 update for free as opposed to the $20 or $25 that it would cost normally.
Okay.
But they have not announced afterwards what their plans are. So we don't know what their rollout schedule for N64 and Sega Genesis games are going to look like. We don't know if other DLC going forward is going to cost money. We don't really, they're pretty much just saying, give us an extra $30 a year and trust us, even though they have not earned our trust whatsoever in that regard when it comes to online stuff.
Oh, right. Like, I mean, you know, I have Nintendo online and occasionally I do play like their Super Nintendo games or their Nintendo games. It's been relatively sparse as far as cool games to play.
Well, and especially they, the frustrating thing about that is like every month they'll be like, ooh, here's our Super Nintendo update. And it'll be like, you remember this firefighter game that came out in 1991? Well, it's here. And everyone's like, well, what about like Earthbound and Mario RPG? Like those are the games we really want. And you're like, ooh, did you say Joe and Mac, your favorite, your favorite caveman duo? Well, Joe and Mac 2 is here, we but got not Joe that. And Mac 1. Yeah. And so it's like, I'm a hardcore Nintendo fan. And every time they release these new games, I'm like, I literally don't know what this is. Yeah. Like, I feel like I rented every single game throughout the 90s, and yet I don't know what any of these games are.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. But that's what they have. And part of that, like on the creator end of it, part of that does have to be hard for them because I'm sure there is a crap ton of licensing issues that they have to deal with as any company who's now moving on to streaming services, as we just went through with the whole ScarJo debacle.
Yeah.
Like changing your contracts from a more traditional distribution network to a streaming system has all sorts of legality loopholes that you need to jump through, which you might not have under belt. So it's like it's very understandable from Nintendo's standpoint, but then don't offer it as a service if you can't give us cool shit.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's one of the reports came out that the reason for the price hike, a lot of it was because of licensing issues. And not only is it tough to license these old games, but to try to license some of them from third parties like, you know, Konami and Capcom, you know, who made some of the games of that era that are so renowned. And that's also another reason why we don't see a lot of those. You know, there were so many like IP games back then, like, but we never see the Batman the Animated Series game, you know, on any of these services, or very few of the Disney games. Disney kind of packages those themselves. And a lot of those developers just don't exist anymore. Like,
that's true.
You know, forever you'll see like a Jalico, and you're like, there was a company that was just named Jalico. Like, who thought this was a good idea? Like, what the hell is a Jalico?
It's a kind of cat. It sings about it.
Isn't it Calico?
In the musical Cats, it's a Jellicle. Oh,
that was the butthole film, right? The film with the buttholes. I remember that film.
I think you're confusing this with the very famous butthole stage play. It's a butthole production.
Yeah, yeah, it was the autobiography of the butthole surfers.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. It seems like every year also we get one musical that's just like everyone's like, all right, boys, let's load up and let's just unload on this thing. And so you get Cats. We got Dear Evan Hansen a couple weeks ago, which
God,
is like a
God bless Dear Evan Hansen. You gave us all something to collectively shit on. And we appreciate you for that.
And I do. I got to appreciate the chutzpah of casting the very old looking 30-year-old. As a 15-year-old.
The funny thing is his dad is the producer. Like, it's literally my dad cast me in my movie that I...
No, you're fine. You're the handsomest 15-year-old I've ever seen, kid. Yeah, I don't... It's bad.
No, you can pull it off. You can pull it off. You can definitely pull it off.
That being said, though, the Nintendo, the $50 a year thing, I don't think that's too much to ask for.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the $20, I feel like that's really cheap. I mean, their online service kind of sucks, but like, I don't know, for those Super Nintendo games, $20 a year isn't that much. $50 a year is still less money than what, you know, Xbox Live Gold or Game Pass or the PlayStation Plus or anything will get you. That being said, they are offering a lot less than those services, and those services have sort of created a, Game Pass updates often with really good games.
Yes.
You know that PlayStation Plus gets you a couple cool games a month, and, you know, Sony every other month will, like, you know, put out some new game or a complete banger. Mm-hmm. Whereas Nintendo doesn't have that yet. And I think they kind of want you to pay that money on faith. And I don't have faith in them when it comes to that specific thing.
Well, yeah. I mean, when it comes to a lot of things, like even you know, getting away from their online service, you know, we recently, or we are about to get, I'm not sure where we are in development, of the Nintendo OLED, which was, you know, like the Switch.
It's here. It's out.
Is it? I have no.
Yeah, yeah.
I have no concept.
I mean, it's not out. You probably can't find it at the store, but
no one can buy anything.
No, that is true.
But, you know, like, which is a classic Nintendo move of repackaging the exact same hardware with one slight tweak for boosted sales. I was just watching a fantastic video on the history of the Game Boy Pocket. The first, you know, the first Nintendo handheld to go through a mid-generation swaparoo. Yeah. Everyone was expecting a Switch Pro or a Switch Plus or, give me some boosted hardware so I can actually, like, play a game without dropping every frame every second. Yep. And they're like, no,
absolutely.
No, it's got a bigger, it's got a nicer screen.
Yeah.
Exact same guts. Fuck off.
Yeah. Yep. And it is funny because, like, all those reports are pretty much like, they know there is, like, a new, more powerful Switch in development. Mm-hmm. But it was almost like Nintendo's like, well, supply shortages are still tough. They're going to be tough for the next, like, year or two. So let's just put this little stopgap guy in there. All the idiots like me will spend $350 on it. And then in like a year and a half, they'll be like, and here's the Switch 2 or whatever. Because Switch has been out for, it's been 4.5 years at this point, because it was March of 2017. So, you know, we are nearing the point where it makes sense to start hearing about what the next step is. But, you know, Nintendo, for all you know, Nintendo's gonna release a Switch 2 that isn't backwards compatible, you know, because Nintendo tends to do dumb nonsense like that.
But so now I think this is a perfect pivot point into the reason why we give Nintendo way more leeway than we give other companies. The Switch is a batshit insane idea in general. Gangbusters. I it's one of my favorite consoles. I'm a big proponent of gaming on the go. I love the fact that you can pick it up, dock it. That is not anything that a normal company would do. A normal company would not swing that big in hopes of hitting something. And Nintendo does. And so there is this... Nintendo still has this scrappy, out of left field performance artist persona about them, even though they are a greedy company like any other greedy company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. They are a giant monolithic company. Yeah. They're bad at communication with their consumer base.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, like, they don't, you know, they don't follow the beat of anyone else's drum. Like, they're not chasing fads or anything. They're creating fads or trying to create a fad that isn't, like, the Virtual Boy. That wasn't a good idea. Why did you do that? And whereas the Wii, you know, they completely derailed gaming for what felt like 5 to 10 years when Sony and Microsoft were like, well, we got to have Kinect, or we got to have Move. Like, people want to wiggle in their bedrooms. And everyone's like, we don't want to do that kind of wiggling in our bedrooms. Everyone's just stop this.
No, we want to wiggle for a party game here or there. And that's it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so, the Switch, I think it was literally 5 years ago today that Nintendo, there was that, I think it might have been the reveal of the Switch when Nintendo had that tweet where Mario was, like, peeking behind a curtain. Do you remember that? It was like a weird, looked like a Mario costume peeking behind a curtain. And it was like the most nightmarish, like, OBGYN visit ever, where, like, all of a sudden you look up and, like, this large Italian man is like, I'm here. So what are we going to do now?
A bend over.
Woohoo. That's going to be in the Mario movie. Chris Pratt is going to be an OBGYN.
Of course. And that makes a really good update to that character.
Yeah, you know. Exactly. But yeah, sure enough, 5 years later, you know, the Switch was record setting for the number of months in a row. It was the number one selling console. I think just this month, finally, the PS5 surpassed it. And, you know, only because we're now slowly being able to buy a PS5 out into the wild. Yeah. But Yeah, and also I think the reason we give Nintendo a pass is because, you know, for all of their nonsense, they still, at a pretty consistent tick, release just an absolute banger of a game. Like, completely, like, oh man, yeah, this is really good. I can't stay mad at you, Nintendo.
That, yeah, and like that's the thing is, like, I feel like there was something that Nick and I were talking on the last Escapist show, which is like when you can feel the love in a game. Yeah. You know, when you feel the love when your grandma bakes you cookies, right? And Nintendo still has that for a lot of their in-house games. Mm-hmm. You know, say what you will about the company, there was love when they made Breath of the Wild. They yeah. wrote a love letter to exploration and adventure games in general. Mm-hmm. And we got one of the greatest games ever made. I think similar things can be said about a lot of their games. And so it's like, but they're still an evil, greedy company. But there's enough heart left in them where we're just like, okay, all right, company.
Yeah.
Give me the love, yeah. Right?
Yeah. And yeah, you see that in new games. You see that in games like, you know, Animal Crossing, which came out right at the start of the pandemic, almost like serendipitously, and was really therapeutic to a lot of folks. Mm-hmm. And then they just announced this really massive kind of 2.0 update to it. So I think a lot of folks are going to be going back to that. You saw that in Smash Brothers Ultimate, which after 2.5 years, we finally got Sora in the game as of last night. So when you look at that roster, like, that is wild. Like, I think, like, there will never be another game that it manages to accomplish something quite like just looking at that roster and looking the love and care that was given to every character from Mario to Sora. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you know, not to mention, obviously, like with Smash, you know, that's DLC, that's paid DLC. Mm-hmm. But for something like Animal Crossing, every update we've had so far has been a free update.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, it's almost like at a certain point, I was like, why aren't you charging for this? Like, and it's a dumb thing that, like, you know, I'm not saying that I want that, but like, why haven't we gotten a new track for $1 every month in Mario Kart?
Right.
Like, at this point, why haven't I spent like an extra $200 on Mario Kart to buy new tracks? Or why weren't people, you know, like, Animal Crossing is one of those games that could have been so tightly packed with microtransactions. Mm-hmm. And the whales, like, would have spent so much money on that game, but Nintendo didn't do that. And so it's like they, despite all of the nonsense and the bullshit they do, they still, like, have a conscience, maybe? I guess, like, I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, right?
Yeah.
That's
yeah, not like a Jiminy Cricket conscience, but like a, I don't know, like a Jiminy Cricket who smokes cigarettes and like doesn't really care too much. It's like behind on their child support.
Right. It's they're like, yeah. What they are is chaotic good, where like overall they are good, but you're never quite sure where they're doing their good or why they're doing their good. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where like any other company who had like literally built a game around players having to come back every single day in order to accomplish their goals would have front loaded that with as many microtransactions as humanly possible. And Nintendo didn't.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing because it makes it an overall better game. But on the flip side of that, now we're getting charged for, you know, 3 Nintendo 64 games every 3 months.
Yeah, exactly. Or paying $60 for a game that was out on Wii U that they're sort of glossing up a little bit. But they were like, well, no one bought that weird thing. So, you know, right. People want to jump into all these old games that they might have missed that generation.
Here's a universally panned game that you can play now for full price.
Yeah. And I'll be like, ah, yeah, I'm going to buy it. And then an hour into it, I'm like, why did I do that? Why?
No, everyone hates that game.
Yeah. 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 It's strange. But then on the other hand, you do get Metroid Dread, which you were saying you have your copy of. You haven't had a chance to start it yet.
It's still in the plastic. You can still see it's in the plastic only because my children have rediscovered Super Smash Brothers. So we've been doing nothing but Super Smash Brothers for the past week,
which is another like kind of wonderful thing, is it feels like Nintendo is generational in a way that the other consoles aren't. Mm. Like, it feels like those Nintendo games, like your kids can get a certain appreciation for them, and then you can have a different appreciation for them. Mm. Because you come to them with history, whereas they come to it like, oh, I want Bowser to be able to, you know, beat up that other dinosaur over there.
Right? No, we were at a rummage sale the other day, and like there was an NES copy of Duck Hunt, you know, for 25 cents, like a cartridge NES Duck Hunt. And my kids are like, "Oh, wait, Duck Hunt was a game?" I was like, "Oh," because they know the characters from Super Smash Brothers. I was like,
"That's
yes."
Where you stared up into the sun and you just slowly melted away. Like, is this aging?
I turned to dust. Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Absolutely. No, but watching them, you know, like I can only imagine this is what like sports people feel like when their kids get good at sports that they used to be good at, is like watching them go from button mashing in Super Smash Brothers to learning how to properly like dodge shift and even like air dodge shift and like do all of like high level Smash Brothers play. That for me means that I can't play Smash Brothers with my friends, because you know, like I'm way too good for my friends, not quite good enough for tournament play, which you know means I'm forever alone. But you know, like watching my kids go from button mashing to that has been a really wonderful communal experience that we don't necessarily get from a lot of other consoles. Like we have a lot of pretenders, but like, Sony has been so hard focused on the single player experience for the good, like a bunch of amazing games.
Yeah.
That they
kind
of forgot about the party game.
Yeah, and those Nintendo games do a really good job of you can like I really like Smash and I'm really bad at it, and so I only like to play with items. I like the weirdest stages. I like stage transformations. Mm-hmm. I don't mind if there's eight people on there. Whereas like I played a couple weekends ago on game night with Casey, and Casey's got like 2,000 hours or something crazy,
right?
You know, into it, and he plays competitively and everything. And it's almost like they're two completely different games for us,
right?
But loved just equally in our own ways. And I feel like a lot of their games, if you even look at Metroid Dread, is a similar thing, to where you know, I played through it and I loved it and I took my time and I was beating my head against the wall at certain bosses, and then I'll go online and see people on my friends list who are like, oh yeah, just beat it 97 minutes, and I'm like, how did you do that? That took me like 15 hours. I don't know how you possibly got through that planet in that time.
Rhyme?
Yeah.
Well, and that it just goes again to the, like the craft and like, you know, speaking, I haven't played Dread yet, so I can't speak to that. But like speaking of Smash, I know like the amount of time put into balancing particular characters, making sure that each of their moves is something the actual character would do in their individual game, but also making it accessible to new players, to veteran players. Like speed running was invented with Nintendo games because Nintendo made weird games that anyone could enjoy at any level.
Yeah.
And that's why we love them. And that's why, even though, you know, burn the capitalist pigs, except Nintendo.
Maybe just like burn them a little bit, like char them, but they'll be fine afterwards.
Yeah, Charizard them.
I like that. That was really good. I was thinking Char, the bad guy from Mobile Suit Gundam, but that's not a Nintendo thing, so I probably shouldn't go in that direction. Gundam does rule, though. It's a bunch of just dudes and robots who just beat the shit out of each other. That's great.
You can't go wrong with that. I like the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. You know why? Dudes and robots.
Oh, my God. All those high schoolers? They go get milkshakes and they fight the old witch.
Doing gymnastics, karate, and then they get big robots. It's great. Yeah. It's great.
It's weird that they take orders from a big head, though.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
And also, it always just seemed like they hung out like the San Fernando Valley. That was like the only place like anyone ever attacked, was like the high desert plains just outside of LA.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, that's the cultural nexus of the United States.
They do a bunch of pornos there.
Yeah, exactly. That's why it's the cultural nexus. Like it's every culture comes together for pornography or giant robot battles.
The big two, sometimes mixed.
The big two.
Who knows?
First of all. Share some links later. Is all I'm saying.
Have you ever seen Pacific Rim Job? Am I right? Don't make that movie. Guillermo del Toro, you won an Oscar. You don't need to make that movie.
Just, you know, setting up a new tab here real quick.
thanks. Be sure to buy GoDaddy, PacificRimJob.com.
Pacific Rim Job. Anyway, speaking of buttholes.
Yeah,
let's
I digress. But yes, to sort of for me to put my cap on this, I do like Metroid Dread is one of my favorite games of the year. Mm-hmm. Like, I am so glad this game exists. And this was a game we didn't know about until E3 this year. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a game that I mean, despite the fact that a name Metroid Dread has been sort of floating around in the ether, Nintendo also does a good job of balancing, okay, we'll show Breath of the Wild several years before it comes out, which might be a little too early.
Yeah.
But then also at E3, we'll show you, you know, games like Metroid Dread and WarioWare and Advance Wars and Super Mario Party. And all these games are available in the next 5 months. So it's nice.
It's chaotic good. And it's, you know, I guess, like, even you speaking about E3 makes me think about, do you remember the first E3 that we got kind of like the like cinematic teaser for the original Breath of the Wild?
Yeah.
And, you know, Link did that awesome thing where he's riding on his horse and then he flips off his horse and in slow-mo, like, explodes.
Gets the bow out. Yeah.
Gets the bow out and explodes the Guardian with that. And then you play Breath of the Wild and you can do exactly that. Like, you can flip off your horse, get out your bow, in slow-mo explode a Guardian. And, like, even just saying that is, I'm getting some slight chills right now.
Yeah.
Because it's like, again, that's Nintendo, like, wearing their heart on their sleeve and saying, like, at the end of the day, we want to make money. We enjoy making money, but we also love the things that we make. And to me, that's kind of like the perfect blend. Like, that's like what capitalism is theoretically supposed to be, right? It's like, oh, I enjoy making this thing. Pay me for my time, for making this beautiful thing, for making this piece of art. But of course, Nintendo's also a corporation, and so that's where we get this like scattershot approach of good and bad and everything in between.
Yeah,
but there's still love in there.
There is, and I don't want them to go away. Like, a lot of people are always like, oh, I want them to just make games and just make games for PlayStation and Xbox and get out of the hardware market. But I think they need to sort of remain to be the strange wild card in the race, while Sony and Microsoft are, you know, doing their constant kind of arms race of technology.
Right.
Like, have Nintendo there to just randomly be like, boop, this next console, scratch and sniff. All of our games are going to be scratch and sniff. Oh, we didn't figure out that if you have allergies, you're going to die playing these. That's fine.
Yeah. That's fine. A few people died. We're moving on. No, and I think, like, you need that. As someone who is, like desperately looking forward to the Steam Deck, like, that is something that, like, the entire, I don't think the mobile PC as a handheld PC would exist without the immense success of the Switch.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and you see, like, the Switch, the amount of games per user is, like, way higher than any other console. And I even noticed that, like, I'll open up the eShop and I'll just buy stuff on a whim if it's on sale to be like, well, this is an indie game I've been meaning to play, but I'll play it on Switch while I have another, like, while I'm binging a TV show. Absolutely. Or, you know, watching some spooky October movies in the background.
Right. Absolutely. Well, and I've heard that from several devs is like, oh, I've had a game on Steam for 5 years, barely made a blip. I put it on Nintendo. Sales went through the roof because people want to play games on their Switch, which is why Nintendo needs to keep making stuff, because they make things. That's the crazy thing. Like, they make a system that people want to play games on.
Yeah.
You know, like, when I think I'm looking at my horrible beast of a PlayStation 5, I hate looking at my PlayStation 5. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to try to put a box around it or something. Like, I never think about, like, how great it will be to play a game on that. It's like, oh, it plays games well, and I know that. But, like, when I think about playing a game on my Switch, I think about cuddling up on the couch. Like,
there's something tangible to it. It's like reading a physical book still.
Yes, you know? That's it. That's exactly what it is. Hmm. Yeah, great.
And especially once we get to the point where they're scratch and sniff and we're able to lick our Switch and it'll taste like Metroids, which I don't know if I want to taste that. I mean, that's just, like, Jell-O and veins. Isn't that what a Metroid is?
Yeah, but then you're gonna get creepers wanting to taste Samus too, and then it turns into a whole thing.
Lick the Samus's armor, probably just gonna give you like a battery jolt,
like a copper taste. She has to have some sort of, you know, like have you ever seen like a horn section? They do that thing where they like let out the spit. They have spit valve.
Yeah, a spit valve.
She has to have something like that, or else what happens to all of her sweat while moving around in that?
In all those armors, the same thing with like Master Chief, that there's like some sort of filtration system that all your piss and shit and goops get turned into like oxygen or like
I guess something. I guess yeah. that would That would make Oh, I see. Editor Nick Calandra is now in chat. reminding Marty and I to stay on topic and reminding all of you that we're about to read your super chats because we're now officially talking about Samus's sweat glands, which means we've run out of Nintendo things to talk about. So now is the time in which we are going to look into your super chats. I'm also saying this out loud so Nick can send me all the super chats because I don't have access to them.
Oh, I see them on the on the YouTube chat?
They're on the chats. I just want to make sure we get all of them. I don't know if we necessarily have all of them. So Nick,
we need all of them. Also, if you want to send us which Nintendo character do you think tastes the best and tastes the worst? Or like tastes the weirdest. Like I think eating Mr. Game & Watch would be very strange. Like I don't know if that would be like cracking open like a thing of crackers from like 30 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, hear me out here. Kirby.
Yeah, he would taste like a marshmallow, right?
Yeah.
Or like, does Kirby take the taste of whatever Kirby has eaten?
See, that's where I think you could have a lot of fun because, like, I see Kirby as very marshmallowy, very fluffy. But then, like, you basically like Kirby is your gateway to flavor combinations.
Yeah. Ooh, I like that too. I like that. Pacific Blue says snake tastes like cigarettes. Ooh. Like solid snake would just taste like cigarettes. Yeah. So, yeah. Hey, who amongst us has never just eaten a bunch of cigarettes? Let them cast the first stone. Eurydice, the Bible. No, I don't know if that's from the Bible. Probably not from the Bible. I don't think Eurydice is also like a book of the Bible. I know very little about the Bible.
All right, on to Super Chats here. Jed Barber, thanks for the $9.99 American, who says, so the comparison to Disney seems really easy to make. Do you think we'll reach either a Nintendo Renaissance a la 90s Disney, or has it already moved too close to being the draconian brand miser?
I like that turn of phrase. I think, well, it's funny. You're saying a Nintendo Renaissance, like Disney had the Renaissance, you know, from like, the late 80s to the mid 90s, like, Little Mermaid through Lion King and Aladdin and all that, Beauty and the Beast. But Nintendo was also just completely crushing it then as well. Like that was the Super Nintendo era, which is just when like formative experiences like Link to the Past and Super Metroid and Earthbound and Mario World were coming out.
Right.
So, yeah, I feel like Nintendo tends to just is on like a constant ebb and flow where it almost feels like every other generation is kind of a drop ball, which I guess doesn't bode well for whatever they do after the Switch. but I think the one difference is that if Disney feels like they're back on track now, I think it's mostly because of acquisitions. You know, it would mostly be like if you're a big Star Wars or Marvel or Pixar fan. Whereas, although like Disney proper movies like Coco, I really enjoyed.
I think, well, Coco was a Pixar.
Was Coco a Pixar? Coco wasn't was Disney Pixar. Proper?
Coco
Moana was Disney proper.
There you go. Moana is Disney proper. Coco is Pixar. But you're absolutely right. Like Disney found a new business model, which is buy all the things that are already popular and make more of those things. They're fine. Yeah. Which is very similar to like a Microsoft approach of just like, all of these developers, they're ours now. They're gonna,
you know?
And that's fine.
And Nintendo doesn't really do that though.
No.
Nintendo isn't too much. Like most of their acquisitions come from second parties that they pretty much, like if they were to acquire Mercury Steam, the developer behind Metroid Dread, that would not surprise me because they've been working on games like that and Samus Returns. It almost feels like a couple that's been together for like 10 years and then they finally get married. You're like, all right,
Do I still need to buy you a toaster? Because like,
I was about to say, is this just for tax purposes, right?
Exactly. And so like, but like even think about Nintendo's dips. What's so funny to me about Nintendo's like dips, their downtime, because a renaissance can only happen after a downturn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is like how the math works on that. So like Nintendo's downturn was the GameCube, which was a phenomenal system that had amazing games.
I still have like 30 GameCube games right here on the shelf next to me that like I absolutely love.
Yes.
And then, you know.
But like that was the dark time for Nintendo.
Yeah.
Like the Wii U was a dark time for the Nintendo. I fucking loved the Wii U. As like as a household with many people in it and only one TV, the ability to play my Nintendo games and still have the TV available so my wife could watch her show was great.
Yeah. It's funny. It felt like a very Nintendo thing in that like the original Mario, the original Zelda, and the original Metroid, they felt like proof of concepts for what eventually became, you know, Super Mario World and Link to the Past and Super Metroid.
Yeah, yeah.
And in that way, it felt like the Wii U was a proof of concept for what eventually became the Switch, which us and tens of millions of people love.
Exactly. And so it's like, I guess all I'm saying here is like the Nintendo down periods were actually pretty awesome. Let's just be honest about that.
Yeah, yeah. They're still filled with killer games.
Absolutely. So yeah, I think Nintendo's going to always do what Nintendo do, which is chaos, pure and utter chaos.
Yeah, and Sega is going to do what Nintendo don't.
Oh,
that's what they've always been so good
at. Which is go bankrupt.
They did go, but they lost a lot of money.
Yeah, they lost a lot of money. That guy you know, thanks for the $2. Actually, and you know what? Nick did not include where this money has come from, so I have no idea if your money is American or some other form of currency. I usually like to shout that out. Nick, get on it. That guy you know also says Nintendo is basically just video game Disney, which we've already talked about, which I don't believe to be true.
No. I don't think so either. Yeah. I do think they're the closest thing when you think of like the nostalgic love I have for Disney. It is similar to the nostalgic love I have for Nintendo, but I don't think the companies are run similarly. Despite the fact that Nintendo just opened up a theme park and is about to get into animated movies.
Right. I think like
and that Miyamoto's head will eventually be frozen and like put in a jar so that he could be brought back to life in like 100 years.
Please don't do that. I think like we could there's probably a similarity between some of the strategies. You know, like if you look at something like Frozen, which is kind of a callback to the classic princess musicals, but is definitely a modernized version of that. Nintendo does a lot of that where they like say, oh, Breath of the Wild is a great example. Like, let's just capture that feeling of the original Zelda of exploring the nothingness, but make it in a modern way. I think like if we look at the Marvel game plan, very similar. Let's just let's boil these characters down to their core and now place them in modern movies. Like, you know, like we're not making comic book movies. We're making character movies.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
So I think there's like a lot of similarities between their game plan. I think as a business, though, they're very, very different.
Yeah, well, Mickey is a mouse and Mario is he's a plumber.
He's a plumber. He would get rid of mice. Think about that. In fact, he fought a mouse in a dream in Super Mario Brothers 2. Spoiler alert.
That's true. That's true. That is a mouse with a bunch of bombs. I didn't like that mouse at all.
No,
yeah. That mouse was an ass.
Yeah, but it was all dreams, so it's okay.
Yeah.
Let's see here. That guy you know, thanks for the $5, who says $50 is cheaper than buying the hardware and an old Nintendo 64 and Genesis games.
That is true.
Possibly true. The only difference is it's not the entire library. Like, you don't have access to the entire Nintendo 64 library or Genesis library. You only have access to whatever games they feel like releasing that month.
They are doing neat things. Like, I believe they've said Mario Kart 64, you could play online with like four buds, which granted, when you play Nintendo games online, everything usually breaks, but still. And also, I don't know why I'd want to play Mario Kart 64 as opposed to Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, which is just it, but better.
Right.
But still, it's a thought that counts.
It is.
Yeah, I guess.
Right,
yeah.
And it's like, oh, you could play Super Mario 64, or you can already play Super Mario 64 because we already made it part of the package.
Yeah. And I don't know if I'd rather have it this way or like it was with the Wii and Wii U where everything's just a la carte. Where, release the Nintendo 64 games and they're $10 a piece, and I can choose if I only want to buy Ocarina of Time or if I want to buy F-Zero or whatever, Paper Mario. And then I quote unquote own it as opposed to just leasing it, which is what, you know, all of these sort of digital subscriptions are, like Game Pass.
Right. Well, or that's, I mean, technically that's what Steam is. Like, if you're not buying a physical copy of something, you're only leasing it. That's what iTunes is. You're only leasing.
Yeah.
You know, which is, I guess, a topic for a whole nother day, but
it is. Yeah.
But I get like, if I were to choose, I would prefer the subscription. because then you also have access to things you wouldn't necessarily think to play, but may want to, like with Game Pass, like, oh, I wanted to check this game out. I wasn't willing to pay $10 for it, but now it's part of my subscription service. I'll give that a try and I might love it.
Yeah. I wish that's something Nintendo could do with Expansion Pack Plus, is start going sort of that route and maybe including one game a month, like one indie game a month.
Ooh, on it. Yes.
And so let people sort of shine a spotlight in that, which, like, I saw a bunch of people this morning all excited because on Xbox Game Pass next week the Forgotten City is coming, which have you read, do you know about the Forgotten City?
Yes, that's the time loop, the time loopy game.
I don't think we could describe anything this year as the time loop game, because I think there's a lot of time loop games.
that's the Skyrim-ish time loop game, right?
Yeah, it was originally a Skyrim mod. Yeah. And then this is, it's like in Rome or something. I haven't played it, but I'm very excited to play it because it is coming out. And yeah, folks have said that in the pantheon of time loop games from this year, this might be the best one.
Right.
And maybe you probably don't fuck your sister at the end.
Fingers crossed.
Although it's ancient Rome, so.
Oh, fuck. Never mind. But I think, like, that's the benefit of something like this, is like Nintendo saying, hey, like, here's like an ancient Nintendo game that we loved, did not sell very well. You can play it now and rediscover this classic.
Yeah,
that's the hope.
Yeah, like one of the N64 games, one of the first eight is Winback, which was this completely forgotten third person shooter. Mm-hmm. But it was sort of the first one to do like a third person cover shooter.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Both Shinji Mikami on RE4 and the team at Epic on Gears, uh-huh, both said that they were inspired by this game. So it's like a weirdly important game. If it's not probably a good game, but it's like sort of important.
Yeah. Right. And so it's like that kind of preservation is important, even though it's not technically preservation because you can't play it forever and ever. But yeah, hopefully they'll do something cool with it. Let's see what we have here. Blue McNeil, thanks for the $5, who says, this may hurt the bottom line, but get an EverDrive. Emulate until they sell something you will buy. I have been very, very clear on this. As someone who produces content, it would be incredibly hypocritical of me to endorse any sort of piracy. I cannot. I understand the gray area as far as piracy and emulation is concerned. I understand, like, what I just talked about game art preservation. That's a real thing. In fact, just this weekend, I downloaded, a whole bunch of YouTube videos that I don't want to disappear from the ether because they would be important for historical purposes. I did that. I'm not going to...
Like the Zapruder film?
Well, this would leave us on too big of a tangent. So I will not say,
sorry.
But so it's like I understand that there are a lot of really valid arguments for pirating and emulation. As a baseline, I do not support them because really it's just stealing.
Yeah. Counterpoint, just steal. No, I'm just kidding. I'm very much in the same boat. If there is any way that is not like pulling teeth of purchasing this thing legally, I am all for that. But if they're never going to release Earthbound or Mother 3 in English, then
yeah.
Like, I would gladly pay for this. Please let me pay for this. Otherwise, I'll have to play it this way.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm seeing a lot of people like talk about Abandonware. Absolutely. Yeah. If there's a game that like is never being released, go fucking nuts. I don't care. If there's a game that you have the physical cartridge of and you just want to play it on your computer, like, that's gray area, but you do you.
Yeah. And to me, it's just not a cut and dry thing. It's not like, murder is illegal. I agree, murder should be illegal. If you kill like a wolf man who is attacking your kids, I don't know. I don't think you should go to jail. That wolf man tried to murder your spawn.
Wait a minute. Why wolf man? That's the question.
Oh, I mean, it could have just been anyone. It could have been just a dude. I was thinking it's the spooky month. This is like the month of Wolfmen.
Sure.
And I believe we're 2 days away from a full moon.
And I guess what in your head, it's like, oh, I thought I was killing a wolf, which is not a crime, but I actually killed a man, but it was an accident. Cause I thought it was it was a wolf. Two, it was attacking my family. But then even if it was a man attacking your family, that's just self-defense. So that's okay.
Yeah. Or if it was like, I thought I was fully aware that I was killing a man, ooh, but thank God he was half wolf. This is my loophole. Yeah.
So which is it, animal abuse or manslaughter? You decide.
I'm, I'm really into cryptozoology law.
Yeah.
So like what, if I try to ride Nessie, is that illegal?
If you try to ride Nessie, is that illegal?
Like Loch Ness Monster. So if I try to use like Nessie as a car ferry to get across the lock.
Okay.
Like, would that be like animal abuse, or would that be just like, well, I'm trying to use this ditch dinosaur to get me from one place to another.
Would it be illegal to like ride a dolphin?
Mario did that in Mario World. He rode a shit ton of dolphins.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think if it's legal,
he's not going to jail.
If you won't get arrested for riding a dolphin, like in the open ocean, you wouldn't get arrested for riding Nessie.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a difference. I think it's unethical.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's 100% unethical. You could hurt something that is like an endangered species.
There's got to be one. Yeah. I think it's only one.
Yeah. There's only one. And so it's like,
there's like a Highlander.
There's probably, that's why Nessie's been around for so long. They're the last one.
Killed all the other Highlanders?
Yeah.
Or killed all the other Nessies? Like, lopped their heads off?
It lopped all the heads off of the other Nessies, so it has all the powers of all Nessies. Because, of course, once you lop their head off, you obtain the power.
And it is. Weren't the Highlanders Scottish as well?
The Highlanders were Scottish. The only question is this... So, like, if it's going off of Highlander logic, Nessie just has all the power. If we're going off of Highlander 2 logic, once all the other immortals are killed, then you start aging until more immortals come. And as it turns out, the immortals were aliens. And so then the aliens come and the Highlander turns
back. Was that what happened in Highlander 2?
Yeah, it was weird.
That's a bad twist.
They were aliens. And then when they came to Earth, even though Ian McLeod was going to die of old age, he turned young again because more immortals showed up.
Is Ian McLeod related to Fox McLeod at all?
Oh, I think that's where they got the name from, because...
Yeah, I got us back to Nintendo. I bet Nick was like all worried, like, oh, these two jagaloons aren't talking about Nintendo.
Nick, we're talking about the very important topic of Highlander, which, like, by the way, like, Highlander the TV series, one of the most underrated TV series of all times.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. Sure. Whatever you say.
Side tangent. I was going on a bit of a Highlander tangent the other day, and someone only knew of the movies, and I started going into the deep lore of the television show, and they're like, wait a minute, they made a TV show out of that? And I was like, it set me off in a way that made me not cool to be around for a little bit. So
yeah, that happens. Yeah. That happens.
Ian McLeod.
I think we're at Scavenger.
Where are we? Yes, we are at Scavenger. Thank you. Scavenger, thank you for the $20, who said first In the Heights in 2021. Great musical.
I did enjoy In the Heights. And the characters played characters that were their age.
So points to them. It was a little long.
It was a little long. Yeah, and it didn't sort of pop like Hamilton did, but that's fine.
Yeah, but like as kind of a proto Hamilton, it was really interesting to watch. And yeah, it's a fun little story. I think they could have cut. There were cuts to be made. And he actually made it longer. Like, he gave himself, Lin-Manuel Miranda, gave himself a character that made it even longer.
Yeah, was he like the ice cream man or whatever? He was like,
And then he gave himself a song that didn't exist in the stage production. Yeah. I was like, come on, man. Yeah. This is long enough already.
Fucking nepotism.
Come on, man. Come on. We don't need it to be that long. You can cut. But the songs are okay. I think if you're a fan of Evil Dead 2, looking back at Evil Dead is really interesting. Evil Dead 2 is the superior movie.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay. Yep.
So perfect. If you are a fan of Hamilton, looking back at In the Heights is interesting. Yeah. Hamilton's Hamilton.
It's like archaeology. It's like a historical perspective.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Second, it's from Scavenger. Gamers are entitled. Whoa. They need a system X years apart, need a AAA game each month. Big N won't exploit their dev team. Epic R won't.
Rockstar.
Oh, okay.
R apostrophe.
Epic Rockstar won't release Rockstar. Broken game with post fixes.
That is true. Most Nintendo games are the day you buy them, they work, and they work very well. Yes. And you rarely hear them being like, "Oh, we hear you, and we're sorry we released this early. We will try to fix the game going forward. Like, games just kind of work.
Yeah, the games work like right away, which is really nice. And yeah, if they feel like they need to take more time on a project, they just take that time and they say, you'll get the fucking game when you get the fucking game, which I love.
Yeah.
I agree. I think I don't know if that's necessarily a gamers are entitled. I think like we now live in an age where we have access to amazing things at lightning fast speed. So I think it's just a entitlement of the age that we are living in.
And I think fandom as a whole is entitled. I think sports fans become entitled of their teams.
Sure.
I think, really hardcore fans of Star Wars or the MCU or DC, you see that. Mm-hmm. It feels like people feel like if they give a certain amount of themselves, whether financially or like a certain amount of their passion over to something, mm-hmm. that they should get something in return, that they deserve something, sure. or maybe deserves to have some sort of influence on it.
Yeah.
And that's just ultimately not how things work.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking forward to the day when we can, or when certain fans can divorce like their personality from the thing they enjoy. And I like right now, a lot of that is intertwined. I'm mm-hmm. I'm looking at many different fandoms right now. I won't call out specifically.
We're looking at everyone, including ourselves in the mirror.
We can. Oh, absolutely. And I feel the exact same way. I came across a person the other day who doesn't watch movies or TV shows.
Okay.
And that's like a big part of my life.
Yeah.
And so it was just one of those like, well, but like it felt like they were attacking me. They're like, yeah, I'm just not into movies. And I'm like, well, how can you not be into movies?
What's
wrong with you? But I didn't say that, but that's what I felt, you know.
Also, I'm pretending that this is the same person that you immediately, the one thing you tried to sell them on was the Highlander TV show. Like for this 100 years of this art form of the motion picture, what can I show them? You're like,
I have the one thing that's going to turn you around on movies and television. Yeah. Highlander box set.
Like not even the movies. No. Just the television.
We're starting with the TV series. One, you get the Great Queen song right up front.
Incredible.
Right up front. Different people. But yeah. So I guess what I'm saying is I understand that you attach the things you like to your personality, but that creates very toxic fandom layoff.
Agreed.
Eve Daly, thanks for the €5, who says Nintendo seems to protect kid-friendly games like Mario and Animal Crossing New Horizon, except for merch options. But their attitude to copyright is BS. Thoughts?
I agree with the first part. I definitely think they are very protective of their kid-friendly franchises.
Yeah.
A lot of times at the detriment of their own online infrastructure, like how much of a pain in the ass it is to add friends or to be able to speak to your buddies while playing Smash or Mario Kart or something. Their attitude to copyright kind of does suck. Like Nintendo has been pretty litigious about Smash Brothers tournaments that you know are clearly honoring their game and are you know a community that loves this thing they've created and wants to make money to give to good causes and and then Nintendo kind of steps in and washes that away. So I don't know if that's like a I don't want to say it's a Japanese thing, but I don't know if that you, since so many of the decisions in Nintendo come from Japan, like, I don't know if there's like a miscommunication there or a, you know, that's sort of not being up with the times when it comes to certain things.
It's part of their chaos, right? Where it's like, like part of their chaos is how grounded they are in this old school system. That means that they're not up with the times. I think like it works to their benefit sometimes, because if they were up to the times, all they would be doing is trend chasing, which we see a lot of other consoles doing.
Yeah, yeah.
And because they don't do that, we get innovation.
Yeah.
We get actual innovation, not just a higher graphical number the other systems do. And so, like, the pros and cons, right? And I think Nintendo hopefully is learning, like, oh, we should not do this, but they're not, because like you said, they just recently shut down another Smash tournament.
Yeah It feels like every time I read that I'm like, oh, is this the same story from last? Oh no, this is
it's a new one.
Right.
So I don't know. Yes, I agree. I like, on the other hand, that's, you know, your, when you create a work of art, that's all you have. Like, you know, the all you have is the right to its likeness. That's how you make your money. So I do understand that you want to be very protective of them.
Yeah. And that's why we're here to announce our official Nintendo NFT, which is the only true art form.
Shutting it down. We're shutting everything down. We're shutting it down. We are not allowed to joke about NFTs. Jesus Christ.
You know what? I didn't like the rainforest anyway. I think it's overrated. I think all those weird critters there.
What does it ever do to us besides make oxygen? Fuck that.
I don't need that.
All right, like we can make our own oxygen. I'm sure there's a machine that does that.
Yeah, I got H. I got a couple 2Os.
Boom. Guess what?
Oh, wait, that's water, isn't it? I don't even know what oxygen is. Like I just said H2O. You know, it's been a while since school.
You literally made water because but I guess that means you had oxygen because you had two O's just lying around.
Yeah, maybe if I got the gills like Kevin Costner in The Waterworld, then I can breathe that. Yeah. Beautiful.
Didn't make water.
Little H2O sandwich.
Little H2O sandwich right there. Oh, wait, hold on. Through my gills, because I'm the Mariner. That's his name.
There you go.
He's the Mariner.
The Mariner.
Yeah. Because he doesn't have a name.
Beautiful. That's like a tale as old as time.
Tales as old as time. You know, you don't necessarily learn that in the movies. You do learn that if you read the 4-part comic adaptation.
Mm-hmm. Or you go to the Universal Stunt Show.
Or you go to the Universal Stunt Show, which is amazing, by the way.
It fucking ruled. It absolutely
rules. Yeah. Fun fact, mostly just to piss off Nick, to go on a little tangent. Kevin Costner, when they were making the Waterworld comics, Kevin Costner preemptively sued them to make sure that the Mariner didn't look too much like him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So he looks really fucked up. Putting that out there.
I appreciate the preemptive suit. Yeah. Like, listen, I just assume I'm not gonna like this.
I'm not gonna like this. Don't make it look
nip this in the bud. Yeah.
Though, good story. It's a fun story.
Yeah.
Scavenger, thanks for the $2, who says Falco Lombardi tastes like chicken.
Yeah.
I mean,
would absolutely scavenger. It would absolutely taste like chicken. Yeah.
Of course.
I think you may have did you see Rye Allen Quake?
I missed that one.
Oh yeah, just making sure, just dotting the I's, crossing the T's.
Rye Allen Quake, thanks for the $5, who said people would accept the $50 price, Nintendo Switch Online price, if A, the online service wasn't so bad, and B, the price hike didn't set a dangerous precedent for other games.
Yeah, I completely agree with the first part that the online service is bad, which is pretty funny. I'm not sure exactly if this is setting a precedent for other games. Like, this might be setting a Nintendo precedent in terms of, you know, if they ever add Game Boy and Game Boy Advance games to Switch Online, do we get another $30 price hike? Or if they would ever add GameCube games, which I don't, it feels like that might be asking like a little too much to, I don't know. Look, I just don't know if their infrastructure can handle, GameCube games were pretty big.
Yeah.
You know, big cinematic games.
I would love me some classic Game Boy or Game Boy Advance games. That would be
great. Yeah. I think that would be, and that's the thing, is that's not asking too much because the Wii U had that. Like, you could download, by the end, you could download the handheld games on Wii U. Like, we had a big N64 library on there, so.
That would be great. Yeah, but listen, Nintendo will price games however they feel like it. The Mario collection, which was three old Mario games, is still selling for $60. Like, Nintendo does not care. They will set whatever price they want because they're Nintendo.
Yeah, and I will buy it because I'm a big dummy. it just happens.
Right, and that's why Nintendo does what Nintendo does. Mm-hmm. And I think that's all. I think that's all of our super chats.
We have a couple bonus content. Welcome to bonus content, RG Sieves.
Hey, welcome. Thanks for the support. We appreciate that.
And then welcome to Early Access, the Alex Crib 1.
Oh, you know why? Congrats. I was in top chat, not live chat. I was in top chat mode, not live chat mode.
Yeah. No, I just like having everything wash over me in a weird wave.
And a what? Yeah.
In a weird wave.
Why would it
like a weird wave?
Why would it wash over in a weird wave? I don't understand.
It's like a wave of like, it's just constant comments. So it's almost like if you go into like a, you know, the wave pool in like Noah's Ark, any of the places up in the Dells, the wave pool is like, when you really think about it, it's just full of like kids piss. Like, just there's just a ton of pee in those waves.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's what it feels like. It's cool to get hit by the waves, but then when you start thinking about it, you're like, oh, I'm just getting hit in the face with a bunch of piss. So that's what live chat is like. I don't know. I really lost the tail on that one a while ago. Yeah. And then you asked me to keep going. And I wasn't expecting
and
that.
And then I was just enjoying the spiral is more than anything. I was just like, oh, let's see where this goes. And you know what?
Yeah,
I think you nailed the landing. I think that's like the best way to close out the show. So thank you everybody for coming and chatting with us about Nintendo. It's complicated. It's a big gray area. Mm-hmm. They do some good, they do some bad. I don't want them to go anywhere. And really, that's the moral of the story. Thanks for watching, everybody. Below our faces right now are our Twitter handles. I'm at Harlack.
I'm at McBiggity.
That's right. And make sure to check out Adventure is Nigh. Episode 2 is coming to YouTube for everyone on Thursday.
It's a good one.
I'm not exaggerating when I say like one of my favorite gags I have ever made is in episode 2 of Adventure is Nigh. For anyone who has seen it, it is the letters bit, which
it's very good.
I really worked hard on that, and more to come, and they're even better. Keep watching, Marty. Anything coming up that you would like to promote?
Just the usual stuff. You could check out Breakout, which is our weekly sort of off-topic show I do with Casey and Nick. We just recorded a new episode this morning. It should be up tomorrow on all of your favorite podcast services. Friday nights at 7 p.m. Central, Casey and I are streaming Dead Space. He's never played the original Dead Space, so we are going through that. The first episode is up on YouTube. We're doing episode 2 live this Friday night. Mm-hmm. And then starting Sunday afternoon with a time TBD, I believe like 1 p.m. Central, Nick and I are finally going to start streaming Persona.
You're going to start your weeb shit.
Start our weeb shit. I'm a big Persona fan. Nick was forced to play Persona because of all of you. Mm-hmm. And I can confirm there are some really beautiful cat ears that he will be wearing the entire time.
No. Well, then you have all that to look forward to.
Yeah.
Ooh, baby, it's going to be a weird one. And no, this wasn't the off-topic show. We had a topic for this one, which hopefully gives you an idea of how off-topic the off-topic one gets.
I feel like we had a lot. I feel like we had a lot of Nintendo talk in this one, so we did.
Yeah.
Oh, and Honey Money reminding us, post-ZP is on Thursday this week, not Wednesday.
Oh.
Wednesday is saved for the Lord. No, I think Yahtzee's just still under the weather, so he wants to take another day to feel better. So yeah, Thursday.
Well, then there you go. Thanks for coming, everyone. Bye.
Bye, everybody.